The second line. This is how to initiate the practice. The four practices. The four practices are essentially to sustain a certain attitude of mind within us. Settling the mind is the overall goal, but we need to engage in the four practices to reify it. The four practices refer to how we should react to grievances suffered, accord with conditions, forsake seeking, and be consonant with the Dharma. Once the mind is settled, we have to live it out through the four practices. The third line. This is how to accord with things. Avoidance of being misunderstood or discredited. This constitutes what Bodhidharma required of those who are engaged in the propagation of the Dharma. This requirement is equivalent to always accord with sentient beings, as stipulated in the 10 great vows of Samantabhadra Bodhisattva. And the reason for according with sentient beings is to avoid being misunderstood or discredited by them. In everything they do, they must aim to make non-believers have faith and those who already have faith fortify it. In other words, they must not do anything that would either lead non-believers to distrust them or have a negative effect on those who already believe in the Dharma. To allow themselves to be misunderstood or discredited would have an adverse effect on their followers' learning and practice of Chan. The last line of the four-line utterance. This is how to be expedient. Dispel all attachments. Expedience is another word for wisdom. Those in lack of wisdom do not know what is expedience. The first patriarch was the one to initially advocate the need of expedience in cultivation, and the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth patriarchs continued with the lineage. From the ways the patriarchs disseminated the Dharma to benefit sentient beings, we can see that expedience was necessary to serve their purpose. To be equipped with the wisdom for expedience has always been an important part of the Bodhisattva's way. In the Avatamsaka Sutra, it is noted that there are 10 methods of cultivation aimed at benefiting sentient beings, collectively known as the 10 deliverances. They are generosity, moral discipline, forbearance, effort, concentration, insight, expedience, vows, power, and wisdom. Expedience is seventh on the list. Also quoted from the Avatamsaka Sutra is, knowing well how to expediently deliver sentient beings one can skillfully turn the defiled into the awakened. There can be no transcendence apart from the mundane, and it is expedience that enables the transformation. The importance of expedience cannot be underestimated. It is great wisdom, the wisdom needed to deliver sentient beings in this world. And to have the wisdom for expediency, one would have to thoroughly dispel all kinds of attachment. To have attachment or clinging is to have yourself surrounded by a fortress where there is no window through which light could enter. Where there is a fortress, there is no wisdom. To be cleared of attachment is to have the walls of the fortress dismantled. In the Diamond Sutra, attachment is described as abidance in form. The sutra also mentions abidance and non-abidance. To have attachment is to have abidance, and to be rid of attachment is non-abidance. The Diamond Sutra tells us to have the mind initiated, but without attachment. To have no attachment means non-abidance in forms and appearances. In just a few words, the patriarch had captured the essence of what is the gist of the Mahayana teachings in the canon. The following message covers the content regarding Bodhidharma's two entries and four practices, as found in the foreword written by Bodhidharma's follower Tan Lin in his A Brief Treatise on the Insight into the Four Practices to Enter the Way of Mahayana. Bodhidharma wandered far and wide in the land of Han and Wei to spread the Dharma. Those who had lost heart in mundane affairs readily accepted the Dharma with faith, while skeptics and heretics alike teased and slandered the Dharma. Although his followers, Dao Yu and Hui Ke, were still young, their aims were lofty. Having the fortune to serve the Dharma Master for several years, and due to their humble and reverential attitude to learn, they laid a solid foundation in the understanding of the Master's teaching. Inspired by their sincerity, the Dharma Master taught them the true way, ensuring that they know how to settle the mind, how to initiate the practice, how to accord with things, and how to be expedient. This is the Mahayana method to settle the mind, and there is no mistake about it. Meditating, facing the wall, is how one should settle the mind. Cultivating on the four practices is how one should initiate the practice. Avoiding being misunderstood or discredited is how one should accord with things. Dispelling all attachments is how one is to be expedient. If Chan practitioners are really mindful of the instructions mentioned therein and apply them in their practice, it will be very useful for their cultivation. Adhering to the Buddha's spirit at its source is a shortcut that helps to avoid bends and curves, thus allowing us to go straight ahead. Having said that, the path would still have to be walked, and the work would still have to be done. Chan Master Zhaozu was still a mendicant at 80. Before the day is done, we still have to carry on doing what has to be done. Not until then would we be freed from having anything on our mind, and only until then would we be able to let go of all our attachments. Let us now return to a brief treatise on the insight into the four practices to enter the way of Mahayana, and take a look at this passage of 510 words regarding Bodhidharma's instructions on Chan cultivation. The Chan method has been around for more than 1,000 years, over which period all the Chan terms have been coined. In the early days, however, Chan did not necessarily have to be called Chan. It was sometimes known as the Way, and sometimes known as Mind. It had also been referred to as the meaning of Buddha Dharma and the revelation of the patriarch coming from the West. Despite the many ways of denoting Chan, it is most commonly known as the Way. In the Sanskrit of India, the Way is Bodhi, later translated as awakening or enlightenment. Why was the word Bodhi translated in China as the Way? It was from the viewpoint of it being able to verify, to guide, and to follow as a route toward its goal, hence the Way. It bears the meaning of a road that leads into the vast ocean of Buddha Dharma, which explains the title, A Brief Treatise on the Insight into the Four Practices to Enter the Way of Mahayana. These four practices actually refer to the content of entry via practice. In the passage, Bodhidharma said, "There are many routes to entering the Way, all falling under two main streams. One is through principle, the other through practice. We can look at it this way. Entry via principle is the main. Entry via practice is the complement. There is the primary and the secondary, but both are crucial, and neither one is dispensable. Of course, entry via principle is fundamental. But what exactly is meant by entry via principle? Bodhidharma provided us with a very important and definitive prerequisite for Chan. By entry via principle is meant being enlightened on the tenet through the doctrine. This clearly implies that the progenitor of Chan never excluded the study of sutras or the word. In fact, it was emphasized that the tenet must never depart from the teaching of the doctrine, which should act as the guiding principle for entering Chan. From the time of Bodhidharma, therefore, a clear distinction had been made between the tenet and the teaching, the latter being the verbal transmission of the doctrine, and the former being the essence of the doctrine itself. Although both are equally indispensable, the teaching provides only pointers, just like the finger pointing to the moon. For the bright guys who are able to see the moon, they are like being enlightened on the tenet through the doctrine. For those who only see the finger and not the moon, they have gone astray from the tenet because of the teaching. That is why all instructions taught through words are like the finger pointing to the moon. They are not the essence of what is to be awakened to. Using a different analogy to illustrate, teaching of the word is like the food we eat. If you do not reach for the food you see and put it into your mouth, you will still end up with an empty stomach by just looking at the food. The more you talk about the food, the hungrier you feel. Our approach to the teaching must neither be to reject it nor be attached to it. Disputes and problems of this world all arise out of hassling within the scopes of knowledge and rationality. What repercussions would this lead to? How does this affect me? What harm would it do to me? From the perspective of worldly affairs, each of us certainly has our own individual viewpoints, and one statement could really engender different consequences. In the process of struggling on and on with others over the views we are attached to, our inherent nature is being concealed and buried. That is why Bodhidharma wanted us to leave the deluded and return to the true. Be fixated on the wall for meditative contemplation without any notions of me or you, worldly or transcendental, enlightened or unenlightened. Be steadfast and unwavering without having to follow what has been verbally taught. Although we do speak of being enlightened on the tenet through the doctrine, yet there is no need to see the doctrine as something tangible. It says in the sutra, mind, Buddha, and sentient beings, the three are not different. But do not be attached to this statement. If you really think that you are now a Buddha, then you have an attachment and you are wrong, because your mind is still being shrouded by delusive externalities and defilements. When the mind is now still only the guest and not the master of the household, we would have to undergo a process of cultivation to gradually remove our ignorance and defilements. It is only when we have managed to do this that we are in compliance with the principle, free from discrimination and in quiescence. This is entry via principle.